Being here and knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior, many mothers are already gone on, and fathers also, but mothers especially. And that prayer was that their child might know Jesus Christ, no matter how old you are here today, that you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Not about Him as a church member, but know Him as a Savior. There's a lot of difference in that. So you have helped those prayers to be answered, and thank you today for mothers and for faithful mothers today as we honor them. In Hebrews and also in Exodus, we have the mother of Moses. The rewards of a faithful mother. Rewards of a faithful mother. If any mother or father in that sense have not made a mistake raising their children, would you please stand up at this time? If you have not made a mistake raising your children, okay. We all understand where I'm coming from, don't you? Because we have all made mistakes. We have the Word of God, though, that keeps us from making mistakes if we had only heed and read and do what the Word of God tells us to do in His holy Word, knowing that we have made mistakes. But in Hebrews chapter 11, talk about the mother of Moses from 23 on down to 27. Her name was Jochebed. And that name means Jehovah is glorious. Married to Amram, and really here in Hebrew is a commentary on the Old Testament of Exodus chapter 1. And I think in verses 22 on down to Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, telling the story about Moses whenever he was born and his mother hid him for 3 months, we have the great commentary. I would like for us to read now at this time Hebrews chapter 11, 23 through 27. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with God's people than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. Esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure of Egypt, for he had respect to the recompense of the rewards. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured in seeing him who is invisible, which is Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you and we honor you today for honoring our mothers, and we thank you, Lord, for our mothers that's here today. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for our mothers, Lord, that's not only with you today. We want to thank you for the prayers of that beautiful song that was sung. The prayers of our mother, but the prayers of our father also, and the prayers of God's people praying for their family members, their loved ones, and their friends today. And we thank you that we have the responsibilities of mothers and fathers to pray for our children. Lord, we have this great responsibility, and I hope and pray that we will use it, Lord, to the power of God's Word and through the power of God's Word. Father, and so we want to thank you this day in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and amen. As we go back to the Old Testament, we know the story of Moses and the children of Israel while they was carried into Egypt. There was 400 years, and then you see, for the first time when they went into Egypt, there were 70 of the family members, and they grew to be several million of them. And those 400 years, you know, when they first started, they had it made in Egypt because Joseph was a second command in Egypt. They had it kind of made, the Hebrew people did, but it says there rose a king, a Pharaoh, that knew not Joseph. And the people that began to multiply, the Hebrew people, they multiplied so fast, the king began to get afraid of them. And he told the midwives to go and make sure the boy babies and the babies was done away with at birth. But they were scared of the Lord. They didn't do this. And they went back and reported to the king. And then the king said, well, I got another idea. Every boy child that's born must be thrown in the Nile River. Every boy child must be thrown in the Nile River. Moses' mother and father, they begin to think, and you see, they put together what God says, an ark. Put that child in that ark, put him in the Nile River, and then we know the story how Pharaoh's daughter come down to bathe, as she usually does, and saw this little ark, had her maid go fetch it. About that time, she opened it up, and she saw it was a Hebrew baby, and the Lord made that baby cry. And you know, as mothers, she had compassion. And then she said, you know, to the Pharaoh, the daughter said to Moses' sister, Miriam, she said, you know, I'll go get one of these Hebrew nurses to nurse it for her if you'd like for me to. She said, yeah, run and get one. Went and got Moses' own mother, raised that child, and she said, you take it away and I'll give you your money for it. Mothers, I want to tell you, there's a payday for being mothers. There's a payday for you raising your own children. God says, you take it away, and I'll make sure you get paid. So we have here now the commentary on that, and we know that the world has a Hall of Fame. Basketball, football, music of all kind has a Hall of Fame, and God has a Hall of Faith. And the Hall of Faith here in chapter 11 of Hebrew is the Hall of Faith. Now, the mother of Moses was not there. Jochebed was not there because she was just the mother of Moses. She was in the Hall of Faith because she had great faith. Not just because she was the mother of Moses, but because of her faith. She claimed her fame by faith. Moses' mother had this great faith. Now, the ingredients that are missing today in most of child rearing that we have in our country and our world today is faith. Now, we try to give our children everything, but you see, there's a lacking sometimes. We try to give them, you know, the best things in the world, but there's a lacking sometimes of faith of the mother and faith of the father. Cannot impossible raise your children for God unless you are willing to practice biblical faith. You cannot raise your child for God unless you're willing to practice biblical faith. So there's about four of these words I like to use here this day for this faith: the root of faith, the requirement of faith, the rest of faith, and rewards of faith. Now, the roots of faith is the soil and the substance that, you know, that faith grows from. It's like a plant that you plant; it has a soil to grow. And then we see the requirements of faith. Now, that faith demands something. You say, well, I have biblical faith. I have faith. Well, if you do, your faith demands something. God's faith demands you do something. We find out they did. And then the rest of faith, that we need peace in our child rearing. Amen. I'm going to tell you, if anybody ever raised kids, you need peace. And God gives us this peace. The peace that passes all understanding this world do not know, but God, it will give you this peace. And then rewards of your faith. How God will help you through the years and give you, you know, the wisdom that you need by the Word of God and by the power of God and the will of God. Now, today we're always looking for something new. There must be something new. You got to study books, how to raise children. You got to do this, you know. You're looking for something new. But I really do believe that you need to get back to something old, and this old is the Word of God. This is what we need to raise children today. It's always what people needed is the Word of God. Now, the root of faith. In verse 23 again, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. Now, the most powerful and most influenced force on the earth this day is a godly mother. Now, think about that. Victory, victory in our faith. By faith, his mother and father hid him 3 months and saw that he was a proper child. Now, that word proper there means fitting, suitable. Now, other translations I read about that word, they said it was be a beautiful child, fair child, special child, unusual child. Well, that's all true, but I really do believe they missed it, because this word here in the King James Version says proper. Proper for what? Well, the Hebrew, as I said, you know, if we find out what was he proper to fulfill, what was he suitable for? As I told you back in Exodus and Genesis, we find out God spoke to Abraham and says God spoke to Abraham that he's going to go down to this foreign land, and then after 400 years, you know, that he's going to come back out of Egypt. Well, Moses' mother and father now, they knew that the days was getting very, very dark in Egypt. They was under strict taskmasters. I mean, they had to work. They were slaves each day and each night, just slaves. And they knew that it was getting very, very, very dark in the times that they was living. Pharaoh's commands, oh, how dark it must have been. Now, the mother and father of Pharaoh, they were from the tribe of Leviticus. And God said they're going to be a leader. God had already told him that there was going to be a leader. Now, Moses, it said he was a suitable child. He was a proper child. For what? God is going to send them a leader. They knew that he was a proper child because he was proper for what? To be a leader. To lead those people out. Things were getting dark in Egypt. I'm going to tell you, they needed a deliverer very bad. We can't even imagine how bad they had it. And then the command comes of the king to do away with all the kids. What if your child was born and it was a boy? How would you be glad? Because you see, it had to go into the Nile River. But God promised to send them a deliverer. A proper child was born. For what? You know the day that we're living in today? Did you know it's getting to be a very dark day in our country that we're living in? People ought to open their eyes and see the darkness of the days. Of the unborn that's being destroyed today. Over 1 million a year in our country. It's getting a dark, dark day when we have what we have going on in our country this day. And you see in the world that we look at, God's going to send another deliverer. And that's Jesus Christ going to come back. He's not going to just deliver us out, but he's going to deliver us up out of this old world that we're living in. They was looking for a deliverer, and we're going to be looking for a deliverer, because before this world gets through with all of us, we're going to be looking for an exit too. They was looking for them a deliverer, and that is Jesus Christ. How do they know this, and how do we do it? Romans 10 and 17 says, so faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's how they knew it. That's how we know it today. I can tell you much about your faith this day. Every one of you, I can tell you much about your faith. And that is your knowledge and your love of how much that you love God is according to the preparation of your faith. Your faith directly proportion of your knowledge and your love of God and God's word. That shows you about your faith. We need to saturate our soul, everything about us. We need to saturate because we're living in a world that's deteriorating before our eyes. The devil is pulling nails as fast as he can around the scaffolds of this world, and seem like everything that we never would believe would fall is falling down today because the foundation is being destroyed. The foundation today, and they keep telling us more and more about this, is the homes, the breakdown of the homes, the breakdown of mothers and fathers and the marriage that God so richly put together with his powerful love, his word. But it's being tore up today. It's being disintegrated. Things are getting away from the word of God. Now we have televisions. We have phones of all kind. We have computers. We have internet. We have Facebooks. We have ball, we have sport, we have all types of God, but we're getting away from God's word. And we wonder what's happening today. We're going to be looking for a deliverer. Dust on the Bible, that old song goes. Dust on the Bible, that's about all we have. Most of us probably have anywhere from 1 to 5 to 10 Bibles in our home. I don't know how many that you have, but we have a lot of Bibles. I wonder if they dust on the Bibles. I wonder if you read those Bibles. You see, a preacher was visiting a home, and the mother come and opened the door and wanted to impress the preacher, and she told her son, said, run get the book that mother loved so well. And you know the answer to that? It was old Sears and Roebuck catalog. But now, you see, we don't have the Sears and Roebuck. We have a Sears catalog, you know. And I don't know how many of you mothers love this. But besides that, maybe today, you know, you wouldn't run get no catalog. Maybe you'd run get the TV, or you might run get the computer. You might run get the telephone or something of this nature, or the electronics today. But something that we love so dear. Do you love the Word of God? Do you love the Word of God? You see, have you really know the faith that God intends for you to have? The faith and the knowledge, and the will of God, the way of God, the plan of God, the power of God. Until you really get into God's word and see what God says for us to do. As I said, we all made mistakes, have we not, as mothers and fathers. And in our lives that we live, we all made mistakes. But you see, the word of God tells us that we don't have to make these mistakes. But you see, a lot of times, even after I know the word of God, I don't do the word of God. And a lot of us have that same problem, have we not? We know what to do, and a lot of times we just don't do it. The parents of faith. What place did God's word have in your homes? What place of the word of God have in your home? Is it first and number one to do the will of God? Not just read of what it says, but do what it says. Obey the word of God. It's sad to know that people read the word of God, then we don't do the word of God. We're headed for problems. But you see, they got to be a root of faith. Moses' mother, Jochebed, she had a root of faith, and it was the word of God. God had already told them what was going to happen, that they were going to be a leader and going to lead those people out. She knew this. And then there's some requirements of your faith. And you know what God said to do. You know how to raise your children because of the word of God. You know what to do. You know, God says to bring them to the house of God. Now, that's already commanded in the word of God. If you're saved, God's already commanded you to be in the house of God. Just obey. But now, that is a requirement. If you don't, you're disobeying God's word. You see, they obeyed God's word by faith. They knew what God said, requirements to do something. If you have faith in God, God requires you to do something. Amen? That's what faith's all about. Verse 23 again, it says, you know, by faith, Moses was, when he was born, was hid 3 months because it was, saw that he was a proper child, and they was not afraid of the king's commandments. By faith, he was hid. Now, cause her to do something. They hid him. Now, today we might say, well, what's the use in hiding him for? You know, today, just trust God. They could have said that, just trust God. You know, God's bigger than Pharaoh. And if God wants Moses to live, we'll just trust God. But you see, God wants you to do something with your faith. Make an ark, put him in the ark, put him in the river. Do something with that faith. Trust God. Trust God. Why hide him? Because there's requirements of faith to do the word of God. The root of faith is the word of God, but you see, the requirements of faith is the work of God. This appears in all in our life in every area we have. Faith has visions from the word of God, and the promise goes into action of what God has told us to do. They hid him. They did something that's responsible and logic. They've done what they could do. For their child, they done something. Faith was at work. Now, James says in James chapter 2 and 17, even so faith, if it hath not works, it is dead being alone. Verse 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without work is dead also. They believed it. Now, some people believe in this premeditation, you know, see, and they say, well, predetermination, well, whatever will be. Now we get into it. Whatever will be. If God wants to save Moses, he'll just save Moses. But God wants you to do something with your faith. To people, you know, raising children. Again, I say to the saved, raising your children. And they might say, well, I raise my child. If God, when he gets to a certain age, God will save him. Is he going to save him? You know, God expects you to do something with your children. Not just to say, well, God's going to save him. He's going to save him. Predestination, God's going to do that. God expects you to bring your children where they can hear the word of God, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I just wonder if mothers and fathers now that it brings their children in the world, do they really understand when they bring this little one in the world, it's going to be spent somewhere for all eternity. That child, that baby, is going to spend all eternity somewhere. And you, mothers and fathers, y'all have a pen in your hand to write the destination of that child many times with your prayers and also with your examples. Bring them into this world. God just going to move down and say, zap them? No, God's not going to do that. God expects you to do something with your faith for that child. God wants you to do something. You see, today, as we think about it and what's happened to our children, what's happened to our homes today, you need to bring them to the house of God, and God will work on their lives. Now, that's not faith that we're talking about presumption now. That's just faith that God says, you know, if you'll do it, I'll do it. He's just honoring his word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. If they hear the word of God, you know what? It'll change their life. It'll change your life. It'll change my life. Saying, what a great God we have. What a great God we have. We have a great God. Just like whenever some people get sick and they say, well, you know, I'm not going to take this medicine. God's a great God. Let's just let him heal me. Now, there's some people who believe that, and that's up to them. They can do that if they want to, but I'm going to take the medicine because God can work through medicine just as he can without it. He don't have to have medicine, but if he wants to work through medicine, let him work through medicine, but I'm going to go ahead and take the medicine. He expects you to do that. Amen? And then you see some of them say, well, I'm not going to have no operation. I got cancer. I'm not going to have no operation because God's going to heal me. I'm going for the operation. God can heal me with or without the operation, but I'm going to tell you what, I'm going through the operation if I get a chance to. God can use any way he wants to. Now, Joyce knew who I'm talking about. A lady not too long ago in her family had breast cancer operation. You know, it was all removed, and they wanted to take treatments. Now, she told someone that, I don't know if I'm going to take treatments or not, because God told me he had healed me. And I said to myself, I said, well, I wouldn't take the treatments because if God told you he had healed you, God can't lie. You know what? She's taking treatments. She's taking treatments. God can heal you through medicine without medicine. God can heal you through an operation without operation. God can do it. But you see, he expects you to go take that medicine, and he expects you to get an operation if you can. You see, some people say, well, whatever will be. No, you go ahead and take and do what you can. Matthew 6 and 11 said, give us this day our daily bread. Well, that's every day we pray for our daily bread. Well, he expects you to go and sit down and wait for that daily bread to come, or he expects you to get up and go to work. Because it also says, listen to this one right here, 2 Thessalonians 3 and 10, Paul speaking to Timothy, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. That would knock off a lot of billions of dollars in our plans today of our government, would it not? That's what the Word of God says. Don't just pray for your daily bread. Get out and go to work for it. That's what God says. You see, if we don't go out and work for it, we might just trust him, but we'll starve. We just trust him, don't get out and go to work. By faith, Moses was hid 3 months, committed to God. Now, these 6 requirements, this is not of me. This is the Word of God. You see, I can't stand up and be your example, because like I said, I made as many mistakes or more than any of you here as being a parent. And most of us have made mistakes. I don't think any of us here is qualified to stand up and tell someone else how to raise their children, because we all made mistakes. And I tell you, if you young parents here today, you're going to make some mistakes also. I can assure you that. You may not understand until you get back and look back on them, but I made a bunch of them. But now, if the Word of God tells us what we can do, and start with, here's some 6 requirements now from the Word of God. Jochebed, he said, you know, she started early. You start early. And I've always said, when is the early age to bring your child to church? Before it's born. Now, she started early. Jochebed did. In Proverbs chapter 19 and 18, it says, chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Some of them said, well, I don't want to spank him because I might hurt him, he'll cry. Don't worry about that, the Word of God. God, it says in Proverbs 22 and 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he shall not depart from it. Now, it's not talking about he'll come back to it. It's talking that he'll never leave it. Train up that child. He'll never leave it. Now, you see, the Proverbs now are not commands for us to do. They're principles. Now, there's a great difference in a command and principles. This is the principles. This is what God says if we would do. And it says train. That word there, train, prepare for a contest. Anybody play ball and you have to go to training? We're going to just practice today. You're training. How about the Olympics? They train every day, every day, every day, year, year, year. Train, train, train for the Olympics. It means to instruct by exercise, train. Instruct by exercise for them doing and doing and doing. Daily prosper by drilling them and shaping them. Mothers and fathers and grandparents here today, do your children, are they in Sunday school and are they on Wednesday night? Do they come to church? Whew, I ought not have said that. 2 Timothy 3 and 15. It says, Paul talking to Timothy, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ. And then it says, start early. You better start early. I didn't start early enough. Parents, did you start early enough? I need to start early. It said also, though, the Bill values. The code to live by is the Bible. Start early. These are the values that, and learning the value of the Word of God. Like a ship without a sail, without the Bible, without a compass. You know, the immorality today. What's right and what's wrong without the Word of God? You cannot find out what's right and what's wrong today without the Word of God. The Word of God tells us what's right and what's wrong. Young people today, that's why they homosexuality and say, well, they're born that way. That's all they're going to hear on television. That's all they're going to hear in their school system. The homosexuals, they can't help it. They was born that way. That is a lie, God said, not me. The Word of God. They were not born that way. That is sin. Like any other sin, it is a terrible sin. the creed to believe. The creed your children need to believe is the word of God that says, because we all sin and come short of the glory of God. That beautiful child, that grandchild that you're bringing into the world, that you might hold it in your hand, did you know that child had the nature of death upon it? The wage of sin is death. But there's a gift that God has given every one of us, and that's the gift of Jesus Christ, that we might be saved. There's a real hell. There's a real heaven. There's real salvation. It's up to us. Then, you know, see the calls that we have to serve. You see, I kind of pity, you know, in a way, the homes growing up and bringing kids in this world that do not know Jesus Christ. It's sad, but it's also sad to know their homes, they claim the mother and the father are both saved and the children are still not in the house of God. Show love. Now, you see, this is the law of harvest. In Luke chapter 6 and 38, it says, give and it shall be given unto you. This love, show love, and love will return. The lack of love we have today. Proverbs says, you want to be friend, be friendly. Show this love. As you pour yourself into someone else, the Holy Spirit pours Himself into us. It says that to use discipline is missing from a lot of homes today raising children. That's not according to God's word to get away from discipline. Proverbs 13 and several of them, 13 and 24 says, he that spares his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him shall chasten him betimes. If you love your child, you will discipline that child, the word of God said. Proverbs 23 and 13 says, withholding not correction from the child, for if thou betest him with the rod, he shall not die. You're not going to kill him by spanking him. I'd be dead many a time. It also says, Proverbs 23 and 14, thou shalt beat him with the rod and shall deliver his soul from hell. Little discipline won't never hurt anybody, not for very long. And this says in Proverbs 29 and 15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings his mother to shame. I felt sorry for a lot of mothers, little about high running around. They can't do a thing in the world with him or won't do anything with him. Scared to death they might hurt him. You see, the world's going to hurt him. All the Bible says, you better help that child, because I'm going to tell you, you may have pity on that child, but the world will not have pity on your child. He says, you better correct him while there's still time. And then set an example. You see, do you really set an example, mother and father? You set an example for them to come to church. You set an example for them to know Jesus Christ and serve them. Do you think it might hurt them if they was in Sunday school? Do you think it might hurt them if they was in Wednesday night? You know, do you think it might hurt them? And then I know a lot of times people send their kids to Sunday school and they send them to church. But you see, is that the example to send them, or the example is to bring them? To show that daddy and mama is willing. And they know whenever you could be at church and when you can't. And I tell you, in every family, they know you better than I know you. They know when you can be there. Set that example. And you know, so just pray for them. Back to where I first started, praying for your kids. That requirement of faith. And then the rest of faith. Hebrews 11, 23 says, again, by faith, more than when he was born. He was hid 3 months because they saw he was a proper child and were not afraid of the king's commandments. Not afraid of the king's commandments. You see, yourself as mother and father, you think about old Moses. When Moses was born, not that boy, there was sentenced to death upon him. He was sentenced for death, except for one thing, the promise of God. They put God to the test, the promise of God. This world today, the United States we're living in, did you know it's a bad time to bring children into the world? It is. But I want to tell you something else. There never been a good time to bring children in the world. How about in Moses' time? You reckon that was a good time then to bring children into the world? How about when Jesus Christ was born and old Herod wanted to kill all the male kids up to so old? Was that a good time? Did you know this world would put a sentence of death on your child or your grandchild? Now, we already know that they're destined to a place called heaven or hell. They're either one or two places your children can go. Now, before they come to that age of accountability, and I don't know where that age is at, that's age that they know they rebelled against God. If anything would happen to that child, we know the Bible tells us that it goes right straight to heaven. Straight to heaven. As David said, and he prayed for his child, I cannot bring that child back, but I can go where he's at. We know that for sure. You see, your children don't need to be saved when they're on that age or beyond, below that age of accountability, because they're already safe in Jesus Christ. But once they reach that age and they rebel against God, and they know they rebel against God, that's that age. I don't know where it's at. They need a Savior. They need a Savior. A mother and a father that say that they're saved. They bring these children into the world, and they got a child that's already reached that age of accountability. They will not come. They will not show an example. They will not start early. They won't do what God has told them to do. And they're going down the road one day with all of them in the family, and they have a car wreck, and everyone in that family is wiped out. The mother and father say, where are they going? But that child has been rebelling. They raised that child not knowing about God. They have rebelled. They're out of church. They don't know nothing about, and that child is raised without knowing God. Reach that age of accountability. I don't have to tell you. You just place it yourself. You see, God wouldn't do that. God hadn't done that. That parents have done that. And there's a lot of parents that's mighty, mighty guilty this day. They're taking a great, great risk about what they're doing today. It's a bad time today, but I'm going to tell you, we know that Jesus Christ will help us raise our children. And if you think it's bad now, how about 20 years from now? If you think it's bad now. If things keep growing like they're growing today, you think about the immorality, you think about the sin, the wars, the unbelief. Go back to Jochebed's day. It was a dark, dark day when she brought that little one into the world. A boy. That boy had the sentence of death, but she trusted God, and she done what she could do, and she needed peace. Mother and fathers today, are you really doing what God has called you to do? You see, because they're going to be rewards of faith. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Choose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God, rather to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. Esteem the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure of Egypt. He had respect of recompense of the rewards. You see, God began to go to work by faith. And then back to Exodus, whenever Pharaoh's daughter saw that child, it said that child began to cry, and the mother had compassion. Take this child away, nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the mother took the child away and nursed it. You see, I want to tell us to start with one thing, that God wants some mothers to raise the children. The mothers to raise the children. And also that, I'll pay you. He says, you know what, you're going to get paid, mothers. You know, there's a payday for all mothers. There's a payday for every one of us. There's a payday for mothers. Pay with great rewards. Moses' mother knew one thing. She didn't have but a short time for that child. And I tell you, as I look back on my years and my children coming along, I didn't have but just a little while. And that little baby that you bring into this world, one day it's got diapers, next day it's driving an automobile. You don't have but a little while, mothers and fathers. And it's going to go by just like that. Mother of Moses knew exactly that she didn't have but a little while in her child raising. But she done what she could, and she knew one thing, mothers. She had him before the world did. And before Satan could get his old fingernails in the hide of Moses, she had him first. To start early, to build values, to show love, to set example, and to pray. She had him first. And she saw with a telescope of faith on down, and she looked out and she saw Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary by faith to send a redeemer. Today, do you see that your child needs a redeemer? Your grandkids? Mothers, we all know we've made mistakes. Fathers, we all know that we have made mistakes. But listen, God will forgive us. We do the best we can. But the Word of God helps us and tells us today. Give honor and glory to the mothers today. They need it. They need it. And we thank you for our mothers today. We thank you for the mothers that's done gone on. And like I said, the ones that are here today, because mothers' prayers have been answered by your life being in the house of God on a Sunday to honor the mothers today. As we come with a song of invitation, we thank you. We want to praise our mother, praise Jesus Christ for his name. And remember, it's not what I said. I'm not setting an example for you, because I'm not a very good example as being a father. And I tell you, I've made my mistakes in raising my family. You made your mistakes raising yours. But God says, bring them to me. Bring their children to me. And I tell you, when you bring your children to the house of God, to the word of God, to the people of God, to the things of God, God says, that's faith. That's you move on. And he says, I will respect that. And I will honor that. And he'll make a great change in your families. We stand and sing our song.